Okay, this feedback is for Rob Ferguson. So, Rob, for your exercise, as you were sharing your things that make it come alive, and the movies and the books, and what would you do with the finances, and as I was listening to you share, what was stirring in my spirit was, what is the warfare coming against this man and coming against the glory? And looking, because it almost seemed there, from what your pictures say, which is the heart, and what your action verbs are, what I was sensing is you have a passion verb of connect, but the warfare is to come to not feel connected. And even in the story you shared growing up, I was a part, but I wasn't really connect. I could kind of blend in with others, whoever I was. You show that in your picture exercise of style with a pair of shoes, and you made mention, I could look at a shoes, if it's a dress shoe, are they posing, is it tennis shoes, are they comfortable, if it's hiking shoes, are they going on a hike, on sizing someone up on how to walk. With that, persuade, you know, what I'm sensing is like you... What I was hearing is the manipulation. You mentioned one of the books about manipulation. A distortion of the glory, or what will come against your glory will fall, is I have to manipulate in order for them to come in to cooperate. That would be a distorted view. Not, I don't need you to persuade, just being your authentic self. And that will release someone to come alongside. I don't need to persuade someone or to, you know, get them like me, listen to what I have to say to validate that. Your very being brings people in for that connection. And you had unity, and I would say that would be an attack that has been, I don't feel unified with that. And why I'm picking up on that is I see this as a lot of you're interacting with a lot of different people on the hands end, but I see a lot of these are pictures of very solitude, but it's very vast open with that. I think God's going to bring that together, not to just a honing down, because you love to, you said share. And I don't know, you know, with the Shawshank, there's a false conviction, there's prison. Good Will Hunting, he was in prison from his trouble youth, but it's not his fault, you know, not being fathered. And one thing that jumped out in your story, you mentioned you almost drowned at 3 in the pool, but it didn't stop you from a level of water. That didn't prevent you, like, I'm never getting in the water, I'm scared of water, I almost drowned as a kid. That is a big passion in your heart from looking at the pictures of water. Water gives life to you, and it's refreshing, and I think one of the ways of distorting how the enemy would try to distort is keep you from being your authentic self. You try to distort that. That's why you said I'm gravitated to the poser, but you identify poser in your style. So I think the one of the glory aspects is helping to call out people's true self, to discern when they're posing, and to know to call out the truth with them that'll help unify them with who they are so they can be connected in relationships and connected with others. To be able to discuss truth, you know, and it's the Spirit of Christ in you that bears that truth to persuade. But I think the where this would come under attack, persuading, is the enemy might have that poser or the false self rise up, and it turns into a manipulation, which would counter the healthy side of persuade. Those are just the first things that are jumping up there to get the ball rolling here.
Yeah. So I guess when I look at your pictures and then the storyboard, I see many facets. One of the first things the Father said to me about that is each one is a unique and glorious reflection of Him. And that one of the things that seems evident is the passion for whatever it is that you were going in for. So maybe not so good with the drugs and alcohol, but you still went for it with passion, but also diving into God and your desire and passion to free many, right? Look at the impact that you would love to have on many, many, many different people. There was a part of me that saw a almost childlike curiosity and interest, but it wasn't a matter of going after it with a book, that there was a sense that you had to live it. You had to experience it. What brought that out was when you talked about the Bible didn't mean a lot until you went to Israel. So there you go. You're going, got on a plane, intentional about going to there before. And then that started to bring more sense into what the Bible was about. So there was that curiosity in you that is, I think, a glory, but it could also be a source of where, you know, the evil one may want to come in and try to steal that from you. And I think of the verse, and I'm not good at chapter and verse, but where, you know, Christ says, "He that comes to me as a child," you know, innocent like that. There's a conviction in your beliefs and a confidence. And, you know, some of this part here about the false self-poser, I think maybe what I'm hearing anyway is that humility may benefit you in some way, that maybe there's some softening of that. But that there's a desire. Remember you saying there was a desire there for more humility, if I heard you correctly. And so I heard that as well from the Father. So, and, you know, in your testimony, there was some discussion about, there just seemed to be this desire to get past to the important and not the fluff, cut to the chase kind of thing, direct. And that came out a little bit in this socialism picture for me too. You know, because I, you know, there's a lot of crap out there to talk about and chew on that has nothing to do with life, and a lot of distraction out there. The focus and planning you put into this was really impressive. My mind wasn't nearly involved, and I was really impressed with how much thought you put into that. And I wonder if that's not as part of your, you know, how you're wired too, of being thoughtful and planning, fair. I mean, it's very evenly distributed. A lot of different passions in your life. I think one way that the enemy can come in and attack that is to try to spread you too thin. Maybe get your fingers into too many pots too quickly, and then he, instead of taking you out, you know, by, you know, some evil sin, you know, like you're coming off the, you're going back into recovery, so you're getting that part of your heart back. That can be another way he can take you out. But in that, in you, what I see is a real desire to share the word of God, to share Christ. Right, mentoring. Some of these are mentoring missions. persuade. You know, I see where Cliff was coming from on you know, potentially that turning into manipulation, and that's certainly a caution. But discussing, having open discussions with people about Christ, connecting with them, unifying people around that, sharing the word. I mean, these kind of play right into that for me. And I see in these movies, you know, the liberation that happens in both of these. Mm-hmm. And there's something that says that that's the path you're on, is being liberated, coming out from underneath false imprisonment. Maybe it's from the evil one, maybe it's old baggage, maybe it's from underneath this piece here. Because it's easy for those that have lived this way to try to put this on God. But that's, he absolutely wants to come in and be Abba, right? So those are my thoughts on that. You're very welcome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, still going. All right. He just tagged. Another way to see this, I'm thinking of the scripture about the talents. I gave one servant this talent. I gave this one two. I gave that one five. One buried it. This one multiplied. This one, he had five, and now he has 10. That you are not one to take something and bury it. You want to multiply it to be, you know, because you've been faithful over five cities, I'm going to make you king over 10 cities, that you're faithful. And then looking at these again through the lens of, okay, how can I bring the glory of God into the business realm? Because you're in the business realm. Where some who are serving the kingdom of the world might be trapped in the citadel of the office tower, but never experience the world. They're a slave to the business realm and put in 80 hours a week at the office, but never take time for beauty, for recreation, and life. It's almost like the business realm where they said, you know, learn how to maximize, you know, the return of your money, where you can get out and you can enjoy and have fun and enjoy life and be free. And I guess you know that from your business realm there of, you know, hey, if you invest here, this is how you have a kickback and you'll be able to be released financially to do the things that are on your heart. Because interesting, what's allure was coming in to have and look at beauty, you know, and there's something like, but you got to stop and smell the roses is another phrase and see things that are beautiful. You know, so that was just kind of a little PS when you mentioned it's like, okay, that's another way to see that. But I think he's on to something about letting the not allowing the enemy to distort by spreading out too thin, but to like, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to do it because I can do it, but I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear him saying, and to be in tune with that. Because there's a richness about you, but if he can't take you out with blatant sin, I'll take you out with burnout. We hear that in the message up there, you know, with Zoe there. But all right, I'll still let some more percolate, but let Neil share.
The first word I got was loves the truth. When you were talking about your Bible and visiting Israel, my sense is that you have a real love and passion for truth, and you want to not just explore the truth, but you want to ride the waves of truth to the generation below you and your sphere of influence. You want them to experience truth like you experience the truth. And by going there and visiting Israel, and how the word came alive to you and living and clear, that now is what you'll use to persuade others that the Bible is truth and that there is only one truth. And that's what came from that. The next word I wrote down was imagination. I know you have it here somewhere. which one is your, oh, right here, imagination's picture. When you're explaining this, imagination, limitless with ideas, came out, out-of-the-box thinker, strategist. Those were just some of the words that came out of that. Like, don't try and limit me to one way of thinking. Like, there's probably 100 ways you can do this, and I'll probably find 101, right? Just keep pondering, keep thinking it, and there's your imagination will take you places that not many's will. Like, that's just a special gift. What I heard in that. Persistent. I think you talked about persistence here. You didn't write it when you were talking about experience. That just really came out again in what you were saying, just persistent with your ideas, pushing forward, going forward. Very gifted with sharing and with teaching. Just the way you explain your financial different blocks. Very gifted in that. I can see you teaching that to others and being an influence to the younger generation, because I think you have a heart for a lot of these truths being instilled into others. So, like, financial planning for the youth, that's an area that's much needed, right? So it seemed like that was in you from what I heard. Legacy, multi-generational. One thing that really came out with the shoes is I was curious what shoes you would wear yourself.
Good.
And especially in your walk with God. Would they be hiking boots, or would they be slippers, or
flip-flops?
Like, is it a hard walk? Is it an easy walk? Like, it just, I just got curious with that.
Kind of to the footprints, you know, to the beach. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Or along a path, along a lake, somewhere close to water, just walking with them.
Yeah.
It would probably be, you know, it would probably be somewhere light and comfortable and warm, warmer.
That's good.
But that's cool.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of Enoch. It says in the Bible that Enoch walked with God 300 and some years, and God just took him home. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, walking with God and just enjoying the journey with God.
So one of the things that came back to me from your story, Rob, was how there wasn't a lot of guidance for you. You know, even some not very, when there was guidance, it wasn't very good, like being praised for being able to make a margarita. I remember you kind of shared that yesterday. And so there was some thinking there about mentorship, and Neil touched on that too, about coaching and bringing people along, and maybe, you know, there's a passion in there for helping, I think, even youth or people younger than you to give them maybe some guidance that you didn't get, even, you know, to show them what that might look like, to come alongside, you know, this kind of thing, you know, walk with that kind of. And the other thing that struck out, and I wrote it down, I don't know why I didn't say it earlier, but it felt really important to hear those words from Braveheart, you know, to have the courage to follow your heart. And I felt like that's something that God wants you to hear, to have that courage to follow whatever that passion is, whatever that heart is in you that He gave you. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, under the what might appear to others as a rough edges, there's a soft man, there's a tender man. You said in your story, your dad was never around for any of the games to see when you made accomplishments. So why bother with that as a wounding moment to, like, do I have what it takes? He wasn't there to see, do I have what it takes? So taking that question, do I have what it takes, and trying to prove your worth, or even that just being numbed down, because you said, I liked alcohol, I liked drugs because it made me feel good. It numbed that pain of not having, you know, not so much you did a good job, son, but it was calling that out into strength. And I see the Lord has worked in redeeming that, even when you shared in your story of, I want to take my kids out, I want to take them out on the boat, I want to teach them how to ski, I want to teach them how to waterboard, you know, really validate your kids and to give them what you didn't have. And thus not repeating what was done to you to the next generation, but through the power of the cross, redeeming that so that your loins, that those seeds go forward, knowing how to affirm their kids, your future grandkids, you know, and love them, you know. So he is redeeming that. And I think, I keep falling on persuade. I think some of these are going to grow, because as we grow, our passions and our verbs will change there. But there is a glory about you that you don't have to persuade that. Just be, you know, walk in. This is who Rob is as a beloved son of God. And that glory will come. And it will tune their hearts, the ears of their hearts, to listen to what you have to say. You are one that wants to connect, because there's a lot of disconnect growing up with, you know, dad not being there. And then even when you messed up, there really was no consequence or punishment. You know, it's kind of like, I got to do what I want. You know, you weren't like a super bad kid, but it just, there wasn't boundaries. There wasn't any guardrails. So, and the guardrails teaches, and while you were sharing, I was reminded of the story of the real quickly of the elephants. When they'd had young elephants in a wildlife refuge, they wreaked havoc. They would destroy the refuge. They would kill other animals, and then they went and got mature bull elephants and brought them back to the refuge, and they tamed down those teenager elephants that were being rebellious. They needed the sage to come and temper that youngness and bring it under control there. And so there are sages he's bringing that have tempered the wildness inside and bringing that in control, not putting it in a box, but channeling that strength so it yields and it really enhances the glory there. Because, you know, you got to have a drive to do what you do. Not everyone can walk in the shoes that you walk. Not everyone can talk to the people that you talk to. But you can. And there's a strength about you, even in what you've had to walk through with the issues with drugs and things. You know how to call someone's out bullshit out and not afraid to say bullshit. You know, and some people need the directness because you're not a butt kisser. You know, you're going to speak frankly to them, honestly to them, you know, to share with them and to bring unity, you know. Because some people, you know, you've had to walk alone on some things growing up there. But out of that, you want to come and walk collectively, connected. Or you wouldn't have been a part of this message here of connecting with other men and going on a mission together with other men. You know, so God has come and redeemed that, have made you a connector who can discuss things and be persuasive, you know, to the point of, I don't mind if we get an argument about it there, because sometimes you need some honest dialogue that's going to ruffle the feathers, but you do it under control there, governed by his love, because you're a man who wants to speak truth, even going to the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek. Meek is not a Mr. Rogers wimpy. Meek is really strength under control. Like, you know, Holy Spirit, you are the jockey on the horse. And I'm paying attention to when you take and just tap me on the side here, it's strength under control. And that is you, strength under the control of the Lord there. Your mantle likes to share. Otherwise, you would not have laid out, okay, I got $10 million. Me and the missus aren't just going to go buy a chateau in France where we can ski all day and you know, drink champagne. How can I share that and bring restoration and healing to the various needs, not necessarily all in one component, but being that good steward? Lord, you gave me 10 talents. I want to multiply that so he can make you faithful and ruler over much. That shows wisdom in being a good servant with the giftings that the Lord has given to you. And you are a unifier, you know, and want to bring a unification, a unity in one, you know, at, think of the word atonement, at one-ment, being one with the Father. Let's pray for him to seal up this time. I got your recording there. So we're going to pray right now. Father, we thank you for Rob. We thank you for our brother. Lord, we thank you for the glory that's on this man. I thank you for redeeming everything that the enemy has meant for harm, Lord, even from this week and giving him clarity and understanding and depth, Father. I thank you for just, Lord, even in his eyes, seeing pieces fall together and getting and falling into place and things begin to click and getting understanding and clarity. And even some things he is going to go back and chew on and talk to you about. And what do you think about that, God? I don't know if I believe that. That might. Lord, is that true? Does that really rest with me? And he's one that's going to, Lord, like Jacob, wrestle with you, Father. I'm not going to let go until I get this clarity and understanding. And I thank you for touching him, Father, and Lord, and just releasing your peace and shalom into him. And I thank you for the nuggets you've given him over this weekend of discovering who he is as your beloved warrior son.
Father, you are reaching for Rob in the deep places of his heart. And I pray that you will continue on that path of knocking on his door, and he will continue to open that door to you. That your truth and your love and your mercy and your desire and your delight in him and your provision and your protection will flood his heart. That you will come in and be the father that he needs, that all those things that a father bestows upon his son, all the goodness and peace. Father, you are the strong one, you are the glorious one, and you can do all things in him. Father, we pray for Rob's heart, that he continues to open it to you. We pray against all that may be said against him. We bring the full work of Jesus Christ upon his cross between Rob and all of his enemies. And we send all of his warfare to the cross of Christ for judgment. Mm-hmm. For there is no foul thing that can exist over him or in him. We pray nothing but the voice of Jesus Christ, nothing but the voice of the Spirit, and nothing but the God the Father over him and in him. And we send all other voices to the pit of despair. We command them in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to him, Father, here and now. I mean, he hear your love and your deep and abiding love for him. That he is your son.
Amen.
May he lean into you and call out to you, Daba, Father, Daddy. And we know, Father, you will provide for him everything that he needs. We pray strength over him as he continues on this path of sobriety. You embolden that desire in him to stay sober and to reach for others and to help them in whatever that case and that cause may be and whatever that call is for his life. You light the path before him. And even though we may only see one step at a time, may he have the courage and the trust in you to make that next step. And we know you'll light the next and the next and the next. We pray for trust and awareness and love over our brother Rob in Christ's name.
Yes, Father, I thank you that Rob is not given to a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I thank you for this time. I thank you for his heart and desire to know you and to know you intimately and to walk with you. I pray for your continued revelation to his heart, and that he would see you, that he would hear you, and that he would be open to all that you have to say. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, guys.